Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Good morning. My name is Matt, and if you're a visitor here, welcome. Can I pray as we get started? Sure. Yes. You can answer that. Can I? Yes. Or maybe I should ask, should I pray before we get started? You're like, yes, please. Holy Spirit, we need you. And as we get ready to dive into your word, I pray that the words would become more than just ink on a page for us, but it would be that catalyst for change in our hearts. And so God, we come to you this morning just with burdened and busy with lots of stuff going on, and we just need to hear from you. And so God, I pray that your word would have the power that you have planted in it, that it would cause the kind of fruit to grow in our lives that you can only grow. So we pray these things in your name. Amen. 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 Let's just get straight to it. Let me introduce you to three questions. Everyone say three.
Three.
Let me introduce you to three questions. The questions are this. What right now do you feel the Lord calling you to? Feel free to think today. I'm going to give you full permission to think. And that really honestly ask yourself that question. What right now do you feel the Lord calling you to? The second question, similar, says, what right now do you feel the Lord stirring in you? And the third question, what right now is something overwhelming to you? Are you thinking about those questions? I want to tell you that those are the same questions I'm asking myself in this season of life. What do I feel the Lord calling me to? What do I feel the Lord stirring in me? And what is something right now that is overwhelming to me? Do you have answers for those questions? Pretty easy. Maybe some of them, maybe one of them is louder than others. Whatever the Lord is calling you to, whatever the Lord is stirring in you, whatever is overwhelming to you, it is simply an opportunity for God to be glorified through your life. If I was at Stephen Furtick's church, someone would have said amen, but let me do it again. Whatever the Lord is calling you to, whatever the Lord is stirring in you, whatever is overwhelming to you right now, it's simply an opportunity for God to be glorified through your life.
Amen.
All right. I'm going to start putting stuff in the coffee over here to wake you guys up. Those questions that we asked ourselves earlier, they are probably questions that make you feel a little bit uncomfortable. I know when I honestly answering those questions, it makes me a little bit uncomfortable. Questions like the ones I asked before, they remind us that there's something that God has orchestrated in front of us that will necessitate the power and the presence of God. Questions like the ones I just asked you about your calling, about things that are stirring in you, about the things that make you overwhelmed, they remind us that God has something in front of us that will necessitate, it'll require, it cannot be done without the power and the presence of God. I only want to go forward in my life. I only want to move into the things that God has for me. I don't want to live in the past. The things that God has done has been great, but it's actually been the fuel that pushes me forward in my life. I tell you what, if there's anything on your schedule, anything that you can think of that causes a little bit of spiritual tension in your life, if there's anything like that that you think you can handle on your own, you're not dreaming big enough. You're not being stretched far enough. Because there should be something inside of all of us. We feel like an unsettledness to jump into things that God has for us, because the things that God has for you, they're bigger than you are. You can't do it on your own. You shouldn't even try to do it on your own, because you must be filled with the power and the presence of God to enjoy it.
Come on.
Let me make that statement. Let me make it more of a declaration for you. There are challenges that God has put in front of you that will require the presence and the power of God.
Yes.
See, the challenges, the things, the obstacles that are in front of you, they're not to detour you. They're not to wound you. The challenges that you can think of already, the things that are causing you a little bit of strife and tension in your life, they're not there to mess your life up. They're actually there that God's character would be formed in you. That's why the character of God hasn't been formed in you, because you've been avoiding the obstacles. That's why many of us look the same today as we did 5 years ago, because you've avoided the sharpening opportunities that God has put in front of you. Sometimes I'm preaching and sometimes I'm just talking, but today I'm preaching. The choice for us is, will you tap in to the power of God or will you tap out? I know, it's time for a WWF illustration. It's been a good 6 months since I've used one. It's time. No one likes WWF anymore. I don't even think they call it that anymore. They don't. Okay. Will you W what?
WWE.
WWE? I thought that was a network. That was like a, okay. Will you tap into the presence of God or will you tap out? I'm going to tap in. Tap your neighbor and say, you better tap in. I felt like the Lord wanted us to do something really unique today. And if you've been here to Vintage Faith at all before, I just want to tell you that today will be different than any Sunday before. We're doing something very different today. So if you came here expecting me to talk for another half an hour, that will not happen. Actually, I'm going to tell you right now that this will be the shortest sermon that I've probably ever preached. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
This will be unlike any service that we've done in a really long time. And let me tell you exactly, word for word, what I feel like the Lord wanted us to do today. Word for word, today we are having a commissioning service. I know there's some confusion, some excitement in the room. Today we are having a commissioning service. As I was praying about today's service, let's just say that God is good and he speaks to me in the most crazy way. But oftentimes as I'm praying for people or situations, I see pictures in my mind. That's just the crazy, unique, awesome way that God speaks to me. He might speak to you differently, but he speaks to me through pictures. So as I was praying along these lines that today was going to be a commissioning service, I saw a car, a wind-up car. And I thought, that's great. I'm too old to play with toys. But the picture the Lord gave me, it was of this toy car. It's a car that gets wound up. It gets wound up for the purpose of being released. You don't just wind up a toy car just to wind up a toy car. You wind up a toy car in order to release it and send it into the future. See, God invests and he deposits. He winds us up, not that we become spiritually wealthy, but that we become spiritually generous. The point is this, the Lord has been at work in your life for a while and he's been winding you up. He's been winding you up. And I'm not sure what he's been winding you up for, but for some, the Lord's been winding you up, preparing you to break that addiction in your life. You've been feeling that stirring for a while. He's been winding you up. He's been gearing you up. He's been investing in your life so you could break that addiction. Wouldn't it be nice to be free?
Come on.
I mean, no, I'm good. Of course, wouldn't it be nice to be free? For some, he's been winding you up to have a difficult conversation with someone. It's time to start having a little bit of brave communication so that you don't resent the people that you're around anymore. For some, he's been winding you up to release you into a brand new passion. God wants to do a new thing in and through you. For some, he's winding you up to start serving in the church. And you're wanting to step off of the sidelines and into the game. He's been winding you up. For some, he's been winding you up to become more integrous, to have more integrity, to be a more integrous spouse, a parent, a friend, an employee. He's been winding you up. He's been stirring you. He's been challenging you. The idea of greater integrity is great, but you're going to need God's help for it. For some of you, he's been winding you up to break that damaging cycle in your life that you keep on repeating. And I'm here to tell you that God is bigger than the rut you're in.
Come on, that's right.
Do you ever feel like God's just stirring you for something, challenging you, winding you up? So today we're going to commission you. We're going to send you. We're going to prayerfully release you into all the things that God has for you. During the next few minutes while I'm talking, I want you to think about those questions. I want you to keep thinking about those questions. What right now do you feel the Lord calling you to? What right now do you feel the Lord stirring in you? What right now is something overwhelming to you? Because at the end of today's service, you're going to come up to the front here and someone's going to pray for you. And we're going to commission you and send you in the power of the Spirit to go into that new season. Unless that is, you would just like to redo the season you're in which case, don't come up for prayer. Just keep wallowing where you are. And you laugh because I know that's not what you want. We all want to make some progress in our spiritual journey. I want yesterday's challenges to be tomorrow's victories. I want to live in that. One of the most repeated commissioning statements that I found in the Bible is in the Old Testament. And I want to look at these words briefly. Moses spoke to Joshua. Will you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31? This is one of the most oft repeated commissioning statements in the Old Testament. Joshua is taking over the leadership from Moses to take the people out of the time of exile and into the promised land. And Moses pulls Joshua aside and repeats an encouragement that God gave him for Joshua. So Deuteronomy chapter 31, starting in verse 7. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, you've heard these words before, it says, be strong and courageous. For you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them. You shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. What a great commissioning statement, right? I would like to have Sean Connery read that to me every morning. Oh, so close to trying my Sean Connery accent. I won't do it. I won't do it. But it wouldn't be nice if every morning you woke up to those words. And maybe if it was made a little more personal, if it was, Patrick, be strong, be courageous. Or if it was Tom, be strong, be courageous. I think my day would be lived a little bit differently if I had that encouragement in the morning. I think I'd have strength and I'd have courage for whatever was coming up. The Lord said a few important things to Joshua, and I think we need to learn from that statement and what it would mean for us today. So Joshua would have to lean on that statement moving forward. He'd have to be reminded, as you read through the book of Joshua, he repeats it over and over again. He had to be reminded of the principles here, but really quick, there's four of them, and then we're going to get to some ministry time together. But the first thing that I saw in that passage, it says, be strong and courageous. You see, strength and courage are the qualities that you need to advance, not retreat. You don't need strength and courage if you're going to go backwards. You don't need strength and courage if you're going to hide out. You don't need strength and courage if you want your spiritual life to plateau. You don't need strength and courage if you're not going to be moving forward into something difficult. It says, be strong and courageous. It doesn't take strength and courage to do nothing. Does it? Joshua was likely tempted to retreat, and so will you, but stay the course ahead. So number one is be strong, be courageous. The second thing I want to talk about is the Lord goes before you. The Lord goes before you. Can you picture the Lord going before you? Have you ever tried to walk through a dense forest or anything? 20-some years ago, I was a missionary in Malaysia, and we had to cut a trail through the jungle bush from where we were to this road. And they just said, go that way. It's 50 yards. Just blaze a trail. And they gave us machetes. If carrying a machete doesn't make you feel like a man, I don't know what will. But I was dual-wielding machetes. No, I wasn't dual-wielding. I just had one. But I had a machete. And I'm blazing a trail from where we were to where we needed to go. And there were several of us blazing the trail. But can I tell you, the person that had the hardest job wasn't the guy at the end of the line. The guy that had the hardest job was the guy who was at the front of the line. The Lord, he goes before you. Can you picture it now? The Lord dual-wielding machetes. He goes before you. He blazes the trail ahead of you. He does the hard work in front of you. You simply walk in it. You know why you're so cut up and torn up, and you know why you're so bruised and battered? It's because you're blazing the trail, asking the Lord to walk behind you. That'll preach a couple times, Alan. You can use that on campus ministry. Use that. That's why many of us are beat up, discouraged, and dissatisfied, and angry, and all those things, because you're blazing the trail. You're not allowing the Lord to go before you. You're dragging him with you wherever you go. That's why you're cut up. This encouragement is that be strong and courageous and that the Lord goes before you. It's so much easier when someone blazes the trail before you. You simply put your foot where their foot was last. That'll preach too. Man, I'm so good at moonwalking up these stairs at this point. I don't get any credit for that kind of stuff like I should. He gives you strength. He says, be strong and be courageous. He says that he goes before you. And the third thing is that he will be with you. The connective glue between you and God, it's not a contract, it's a relationship. The connective glue between you and God, it's not because you signed something or made a decision, it's a relationship. And the relationship you have with God, it's maintained just like the relationships you have with the great, beautiful people you're sitting next to. It requires conversation and time and patience and listening. He will be with you. And I shared about this last week. God takes great joy in doing things with us rather than doing things for us. And it might sound annoying sometimes in our house. And if Grace says to me, will you please take out the trash? I'll gladly take out the trash because I do so few other things around the house. But if I said, I'll take out the trash and honey, will you come with me? I mean, that would be saying, I want as much time with you as possible. Should I try this the next time I take out the trash? I would love to take out the trash. Will you come with me? I just want to be with you. See, the point here is that God values and prioritizes relationship above deeds and doing. He wants to be with us. Do you know that God wants to be with you through every little minute detail of your week? Every little thing, every little step. He wants to be with you. The fourth thing, the last thing, is don't fear or be discouraged. Here's the thing. As you journey with God, you're going to have moments of fear and discouragement. I put it like this. Vacation in fear and discouragement, but don't buy a condo there. I'll say it again. You can vacation in fear and discouragement, but don't buy a condo there. See, sometimes we just settle down in fear and discouragement and we build a tent and we just want to stay there forever. Vacation there. Spend a season in fear. Spend a season in discouragement, but your identity doesn't come from that. Your identity is found in who Jesus is and that he is victorious, that he breaks fear, that he breaks anxiety, that he clears all depression. After Joshua takes over from Moses, the Lord speaks to Joshua again. And this is in Joshua 1:9. It's kind of a condensed version of what we just read. The Lord says this to Joshua later. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I think that the commissioning that God gave Joshua, he wants to give to us. The challenges before Joshua were pretty great, and the challenges before you, they're pretty great too. The temptation and fears that Joshua had are the same temptations and fears that you have. And Joshua teaches us that when we honor God, if you look at the life of Joshua, as we honor God, as we remain faithful to him, as we act with courage and strength, we experience his blessings and his peace. Can the band come on up? What right now do you feel the Lord calling you to? Can you think of something? It might be, he might be calling you to give up something. He may be calling you to start a new discipline in your life that you know would be healthy for you. He might be calling you to serve. He might be calling you to, what is it? What do you feel like the Lord is calling you to? And the second question, what right now do you feel the Lord stirring in you? We've been doing this series the last 8 weeks about fan or follower. And we've learned that a lot of people are fans of Jesus, But to be a follower means you pattern your life after Jesus. The thing is a lot of fans think they're followers. I know I have. I've functioned as a fan of Jesus for a long time. And the Lord has, over the last 8 weeks, been stirring you. He's been challenging you. He's been winding you up. Why? What is he stirring you for? And the last question is, what right now is something that's overwhelming to you? Can you think of something in your horizon that just seems really big for you? Is it a sickness? Is it a financial thing? Is it a relationship thing? I think we all have answers to all of those three questions. I kind of think I can answer all of them. Here, let me be transparent and I'll answer them for you. What right now do I feel the Lord calling me to be a more patient father? Because I've got a kindergartner right now. What right now do you feel the Lord stirring in you? I feel the Lord stirring in me to train up some new leaders here at our church. And I'm a bit of a control freak. But I feel the Lord stirring me to start handing off some things that I really love. And what right now is something that's overwhelming me? Besides you guys. I don't even know where to start. What's overwhelming me? In a moment, I'm going to have people up here who are ready to pray for you. And they want to commission you. They want to pray for you and believe that God is going to do something miraculous. This isn't something we do often here at church. We probably don't do it often enough. But there's something really significant about when someone puts a hand on you and prays for you. You know what the first thing is? You don't feel alone anymore. Right away, as soon as someone puts a hand on you to pray for you, you say, I'm no longer alone. And so there's people who are going to be up here to pray for you. And those questions are really your prompt. As you come up to get prayer, just tell them, say, hey, I need prayer because I feel the Lord calling me to this. Or are you stirring this in me? Or I'm feeling overwhelmed about this. And allow them to pray for you. What does the Bible say? When two or more are gathered, there he is in the midst of them. But more than just like put their hand on you and pray for you, and they're going to do that, I have an anointing oil up here too, and it smells really good too, which is a bonus. I got it from Amazon. And straight from Israel, the city of Amazon. And I have anointing oil, and I don't know if you've ever been anointed with oil before. It's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit. But it's also more than that. I think about King David, and David was one of the sons, and the prophet comes and he anoints him king over Israel. And from that moment, David's life changes direction a little bit. I think there's something about getting anointed with oil that sets you apart for a brand new future. It's kind of like a marker moment in your life where your life gets altered in a brand new direction. Does that sound like good news to anybody? I need to get off this freeway. I need to get on a new freeway. An exit's coming up. And the marking, the anointing oil, it symbolizes that this set apartness, it symbolizes this new thing that God wants to do in you. Those are things I need really bad. And so the person that's going to pray for you is going to anoint you with oil and just put a little dab on your forehead. And it might sound weird. This may not be your tradition whatsoever. But would you be willing to be brave and courageous and do something maybe different today? Because I think that as you get anointed with oil and as this person prays for you, I think something's going to happen. Something's going to start to change in your mind. Old patterns of life are going to get broken. Bondages, addictions going to get, just shake it off. Like Taylor Swift says. I know we all need some of that. We just need to shake off some of that junk we're carrying. And we need to be commissioned and sent into this brand new future full of the presence and the power of God. Does that sound like good news? Yeah. So the band is going to lead us in a song, and if you're not getting prayer, that's fine. Just stay and sing. We love your voices. But the prayer team will be up here up front to pray with you. And once you get prayer, just make your way back to your seat. And once everyone's received prayer, I have a commissioning prayer I want to pray over our whole church. Because I believe that God doesn't just send us individually, he sends us corporately. He sends us as a family. And I love what Motique is doing in our city, that she's a representative of our great church, loving people right in their most immediate point of need. So great that we get to do that. So can the prayer team people come up? You know who you are. I emailed you probably. If you're on the prayer team, come on up and grab an anointing oil. I got a Rose of Sharon. So there, they have names. And when you're ready, come up and receive prayer. And once everyone has received prayer, we're going to go ahead and dismiss together. Does that sound okay? Does that make sense? If you didn't get a prayer, that's okay. We'll still be here for a little while. And I love praying. And so I'll be here for as long as needed. I had a different commissioning prayer, but this one just got quickened to me. So if you're ready for something fresh off the press, freestyle. Will you stand with me? We're all sent by God into difficult things, but we carry the presence of God with us. When I think of the chaos that is in front of many of our lives, I'm reminded the perfect peace, the shalom of God, it comes with us. I'll tell you one thing that's more contagious than chaos. It's the peace of God. So wherever you go from here, wherever the Lord's leading you, whatever challenges, whatever obstacles, whatever new opportunities are in front of you, the peace of God makes it all right. I know y'all so well. I look around the room and we got Matt, who's starting his training for chaplaincy program. It's gonna be a really difficult year for you, but the peace of God goes with you. You're gonna know that quality of God to a greater degree after this year than you do this minute, because you're engaging in the process. Each of us have a story like that. Your marriage, your finances, whatever the obstacles in front of you, you can either let it break you or you can let it shape you. And it's gonna shape you into the image of Jesus. So let me pray this prayer over you, then we'll be dismissed. You've heard this before. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Be the church. We'll see you next Sunday. If you still want prayer, come on up.